Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Parental advisory. This episode of Simultaneous Times deals with adult themes. The Distant Prince by Gabriel Hart, read by the author, with music by Fog Machine.
The Distant Prince. A lie is told, not just to protect our own selfish agendas, but often to keep someone else's feelings from being hurt. We fool ourselves to believe that the latter is less harmful, yet either way, we are engaging in black magic, the antithesis of the gods, creating an alternate reality that will have no natural fusion, no magnetic force of nature. These lost, fickle fragments of anti-life we create will float as debris in our inner space, jumbling our frequencies as we become more preoccupied with their impossible maintenance than we are with our own daily evolutions. If enough of these abortions of the soul are rendered, they will be forced to fuse into a panorama of blindness within us, whose foundation one cannot actually see, but will be the only solid ground left for us to stand on, as reality, as we once knew it, will then begin to fade from view.
Jim, honey, what's the matter? What happened?
He dismounted her with a jolt, much faster than their passion had initially conjoined their loins. He recoiled to the corner and his palms were in his face. His blue bald panting was being muffled through his fingers, looking like he was trying to suffocate himself. He said nothing.
Jim, what the fuck is wrong with you, honey?
Her voice teetered from sympathy to condemnation.
I'm fine. It's okay, Shelley, he lied.
No, it's not okay, obviously. You were just fucking my brains out right perfect, and now you're in the corner like a dunce and you're shaking? What the hell, Jim? She managed it to shriek whisper. Honestly, you're making me feel like I'm an open sore right now. He was still tongue-tied as he saw the moon still beaming on her face through their curtains to the right, only a slightly altered angle since she had sat up, and now it was giving her face a hideous, malevolent quality, a far cry from the young angel he had just been making the most sincere love to. That young angel caused him to jump out of her.
Really, I promise everything is okay. I'm really sorry, baby, he said, revealing nothing.
He was more concerned with covering his manhood, quickly devolving into modesty, as he wondered to himself what had just happened. After all, how could he just explain to her what went wrong if he didn't know what had just occurred himself? Jim thought quick as he made himself get up and crawl back into bed with his sweetheart of almost 3 years. He knew exactly what he saw, but opted for more ambiguity, as the truth would have simply locked him out of her heart. He salvaged his confidence, whispering to her as he pulled up the sheets again, steering it gingerly back into the safe romantic cul-de-sac that he was doing donuts in just minutes earlier.
I think I got so deep with you that I got a little dizzy and I thought I was going to pass out, he said.
He was getting quite good at lying after a year of erratic infidelity. Shelley's mood changed dramatically as a smile spilled across her face.
Good answer, she sighed cheekily,
as she handed him a glass of water from the nightstand, like a dutiful cheerleader to her marathon man. She seemed appeased as she curled up into him, her softness struggling to contour to his stiff oblivion. It was only 8:46 p.m., and though they had been in the throes of passion for almost an hour, it was enough for Shelley to fall into a light sleep, only slightly snoring every so often. Jim lay facing away, not able to relax, as he gazed into the taunting digital marquee of their alarm clock. What time was it anyway? The numbers on the clock looked foreign as hieroglyphics, mere primitive symbols compared to what he had actually just seen. He had seen the other woman in her. No, he didn't see the other woman in her. Her face had actually become the other woman's face. He had looked away, looked back, still there, blinked, still there, thrusted harder, still there, gazed into her eyes, more presence. It was still the other woman. It had been months ago. Nobody except him and the other woman knew. Shelley would have never known about it,
had she just not somehow become her. He looked over at her to make sure she was still fast asleep before he got up to open the window, as it was sweltering and he needed some cold air to sober up his own guilt-ridden insanity. He took the 2 steps towards the pane, gently lifting the latch, and lifted the window frame. He looked up at the moon, which seemed to be blinding in its luminescence, yet it took on a shade and shape he had never remembered seeing before in his life. There it sat, cradled in the clearest of brisk night skies. It seemed to have a dull, matte gray finish on it, covering any of its normal texture or definition. A one-dimensional superimposition. Directly in the center was a small but undeniable black blemish, a feature never seen before on the single most familiar nighttime sights. 20 minutes in now, he was sure he was not hallucinating, transfixed on what seemed like an honest-to-God glitch in permanence. He wondered how something so colorless and bereft of life could be such a taunting presence. Was it actually present? He returned to bed, defeated, confused, fatigued. His elusive paranoia finally wore him out, and he fell into a dull sleep. Jim, her marathon man. He awoke gently to a familiar embrace at 2:15 a.m., with Shelley's thumb and forefinger tracing the contours of his slowly stiffening cock. "I'm not done with you yet," she said, playfully whispering into his ear as he melted into her nocturnal advance. He took his arm under her neck as he explored her underworld with the other hand, assuring the arousal was mutual before he threw his leg over and plunged into her with an abandoned but focused gusto, as if his whole lie depended on it, steadily gaining back his robbed confidence with each thrust into her. The bed lamp still off, it was the moon that cast the only sabers of light into the room and onto Shelley's face, grimacing with pleasure, pain, and everything between and beyond. Her face shone bright like a spotlight presentation for something he wasn't prepared for the second time. The evening's sole source of illumination gradually altering her features once again, like the shadows of a sundial. This time, Jim did not recoil. Instead, he was somehow reanimated in his wee hour exhaustion as he gorged himself into Shelley. His oil drill rhythms quickened, his lengths deepening, muscles tightening as he hungrily indulged this time in his preferred future into a face that was not hers. He uttered the unthinkable. "I love you." It was Shelley's turn to recoil. She half giggled nervously before surrendering to the hour's previous bewilderment, wiggling out from under him and sitting upright. "Jim, what is going on? You can't blame me for being shocked to hear you say that. You haven't said those words to me in years now. Maybe I've become some callous bitch, but you know you're acting strange even when you are trying to be sweet. Just give it up already, please." He rose off his knees and planted his feet onto the floor, saying not a word, save the residual panting of his deflating passion. He looked toward the window and began to beeline in slowest motion, catatonic with stoic curiosity, almost possessed by what he saw in the sky. Jim reclaimed his spot at the sill, looking up. The blemish on the moon had grown larger, as had the rest of the gray sphere around it. Now it resembled a giant eye, with odd detail in the pupil that felt familiar. Transfixed on the orb, it wasn't long before its dull gray appearance began to blur and swirl into a far more disturbing image, as gray turned to blue and continents began to form on its surface, slightly obscured by slivers of white like those of a cataract. It was his worst nightmare, the planet Earth, slowly fading away. As he looked around, he was no longer in his own home, but the barren landscape of this moon he had made for himself, his own anti-world, created by lies kept under such pressure they had finally solidified into his own private foundation. After years of not being present, he would no longer be allowed to see what was always right in front of him.
Fucking Like Animals by Jean-Paul L. Garnier, read by the author, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Fucking Like Animals. You'll have to wait in the hallway for a few minutes. I've got some business to finish up in here with an associate. Better yet, you go get us a cup of coffee and come back in 20 minutes. I should be ready for you then, said Derek dismissively, closing the door on Danny's face. Danny had no choice but to walk down the street for the coffee. He couldn't argue with someone who was in Derek's line of work. Dealers always had to be in control, always acting like their business was more important than it is. Danny didn't mind. The clubs wouldn't be opening for hours. He was planning ahead, really wanting the night to go his way, and knowing that the pills took a few hours to kick in. He grabbed two cups of coffee at the donut store, poured copious amounts of sugar into them, and started back for Derek's apartment. Okay, come on in, Danny, Derek barked through the intercom. Multiple deadbolts rattled before Danny was led into the dark apartment, one of those places where you can't tell what time it is because the room has never seen the light of day, at least not with its current occupant. He strolled in and sat on the couch, taking the bong that Derek handed him and inhaling a huge hit from the water pipe. Smoke trailed from Danny's mouth as his eyes grew visibly redder and his voice deepened half an octave. They both lit cigarettes and sat smoking in silence, pretending to be friends, but really having nothing to say. When the obligatory courtesies were over, Danny nervously breached the subject. Do you have any more of that bird stuff? You weren't kidding about that shit. It really got me going, Danny asked enthusiastically, his tone back to normal. What did I tell you? I always have the best and newest stuff. I don't have the same shit as last time, but I've got a different strain of bird that I know you'll dig, said Derek, dismissing Danny's comment and rifling through a wooden box that he kept under his recliner chair. Danny watched as smoke curled to the ceiling, knowing that Derek did not like to be interrupted while exploring his stash. Last time I saw you, I went to Club Intra, and man, that shit really worked like you said it would. I was out there cutting a rug like never before, and just like you said, the girls sure did notice. I had a fucking circle of people around me watching me dance. Can you believe it? The Friday before last, no one even noticed I was alive and out there on the dance floor. Of course you were. Like I said, I have the best bird in town. Here's the new strain, made from some jungle variety. You know, it's the ones you've never heard of that have the craziest effects. Probably seen it on the Nature Channel or something. They use it the same way we do. Works for them too, said Derek, while waving the small baggie in Danny's direction. Danny grabbed the bag, putting on his least threatening air, trying not to agitate the high-strung dealer. Is this one gonna have the same effects? I mean, I really liked that last stuff, and I'm hoping for a similar experience. Sure you don't have any more of that last shit? Ran out shortly after I saw you last. Don't worry, you're gonna flip when you try this. From what I understand, this variety will have you dancing even harder, and they'll notice, I guarantee it. Derek held out his hand as he spoke, his way of saying that a conversation was over and it was time to pay up and leave. There were probably a few people waiting out in the hallway as Danny had before. He handed over the money and took the baggie, slapped Derek a high five and hit the street, still with several hours to go before he could show up fashionably late at Club Intra. You feel like going out with me tonight, darling? I'm going to the club to meet up with some of the girls. You're welcome to join us if you like, asked Clara. I wish I could, but you already know that I'm on graveyard shift again tonight. While you'll be having drinks, I'll be packing boxes. You have fun, cutie. We'll just have to catch up in the morning. I have to leave after this cup of coffee. Do you want a glass of wine before you're off too? Replied Frank. Yes, please, shouted Clara from the bathroom as she flat-ironed her hair and primed for her night out. Secretly, she was glad that Frank had to work. He wasn't as much fun as he used to be before he had taken his new job. He was always tired now, and rarely felt like dancing. Always complaining that her night was his morning, and who would want to dance first thing in the morning? He set the glass of wine on the bathroom counter and ran his fingers through her still warm hair, gave her a peck on the cheek so as not to smear her newly applied lipstick, and patted her on the ass, then left for work, worrying that he would be late. A wave of relief flooded over Clara as she heard his car speed up the driveway and out into the street. She would have the whole night without him and planned to cut loose. She'd been tied up in the house too long, and if he wasn't going to go out to the clubs, it wouldn't stop her from having a good time. She took a Xanax from her purse and washed it down with the wine, draining the glass with one swig, then slid to the kitchen for a refill. She was going to start this night relaxed and feeling good. The line to get into Club Intra went all the way around the block. Seas of dolled up girls and drooling guys smoking endless waves of cigarettes as they waited and prayed to get in. Clara met with her friends Janet and Sarah in the parking lot and passed a bottle around in the car, getting their buzz on and saving money at the bar. Not that any of them would have to pay for their drinks once they got inside. After drinking for half an hour and killing a pint of vodka, they made their way to the line. "Hey, you three ladies over there, you can come to the front of the line," shouted the bouncer. It wasn't the first time that the girls had been flagged from the line and allowed to get in without waiting. One of the perks of being sexy females. The girls' luck wasn't as good with the line at the bar. They fell into their place and waited while people watching and chatting it up. Several times, Janet pointed out guys in the crowd that caught her eye. She was always on the prowl. When one particularly hot guy walked by, she couldn't contain herself any longer. "A girl ought to be able to get lucky at a place like this. Intra is always crawling with fresh blood." The girls all laughed and hooted at the guy that had walked by, their voices fading into the loud music and crowd noise. When they were halfway through the line, Sarah pulled out a small baggie containing three pink pills with brown flecks. "You guys want to try some cat? It's the latest thing on the street. Just picked it up from a friend. Says not too many people have even heard of it yet. It's supposed to get you going real good. Like Molly, but better." Without further conversation, the girls divvied up the pills, not waiting for their drinks to wash them down, swallowing them dry. Just then, they caught the bartender's eye and the vodka continued to flow. They staked out a table on the edge of the dance floor, sitting with their drinks, waiting for the cat to kick in, while eyeing prospective men and making fun of those with less than graceful dance moves. The drinks were already working, and the new sensation of cat also began to pulse through their bodies, perking their minds. The feeling was sharp and came on like needles all over the body, or like the sick thrill of a leg filled with sleep coming back to life. "I feel sleek," Clara was the first to announce the head change. "Predatory," followed Janet. "I told you that you guys would love this shit. Wait until it kicks in full force. We're gonna be slinking around that dance floor like we never have before," said Sarah proudly. She always took pride in having the latest thing in her pocket, always hungry for new experience and someone to share it with. When Clara got up to go to the bathroom, she realized that her movement was different. Each step that she took was more like a leap. She glided through the crowd with an accuracy that she had never known, sliding right through the gaps between dancers, never rubbing shoulders. As her body curved, she had the fleeting epiphany that she must look good from across the room. She was slicker than ever. Sexy. Arriving back at the table, she could see by the look on her friend's face that the drug was kicking in for her too. Janet had already made her way to the floor and was rubbing up against the hottie that had passed them at the bar. In the flashing lights, Clara could tell he was not as cute as they had thought in the dim light, but Janet didn't seem to mind and was getting pretty fresh in a hurry. "You want to go dance too? Looks like fun," asked Sarah. Clara was eager, but not quite ready. "Let's have one more drink, and then join her. I feel like getting fucked up tonight." The waiter plopped two more vodka tonics in front of them and asked about their tab before leaving them alone again. The girls sipped on the drinks and chatted about love life problems for a minute before deciding to switch the topic of conversation to something more lighthearted and fun. As Sarah was telling her about a new Joe she had met, Clara noticed a guy out on the dance floor, not far off from where Janet was still dancing. The man was dancing with wild abandon, moving like nothing she had ever seen. He looked so loose, like he was really enjoying himself no matter what was going on around him. Clara wanted to be that free too. She couldn't remember the last time she had had a good time the way that the dancing fellow was. His moves were so alluring, like they were designed to draw one in. They had a hypnotic suggestion to them, and they were working their magic on her. She had the sudden and irresistible need to pounce on the dancer, to encompass him, Now she understood the predatory comment that Janet had made. It was coming on strong. She looked to Sarah and announced, "See that dancing fool over there? He's got a thing. I'm gonna go dance with him. Would you mind checking my code in with yours?" Without waiting for a reply, she downed the last of her vodka tonic and made her way across the dance floor to the guy that had caught her attention. He moved wildly, arms and legs flowing in such a way that it hardly looked human, but still with an appealing and odd grace to the movements. He knew the moonwalk, not to mention a score of other moves that were not in the book. He seemed tireless and energetic. Even the sweat on his brow had some kind of natural allure. Clara's back arched as she approached him. She decided not to say anything, but just to join in the dance. She almost had a difficult time keeping up with him, but the cat pulsing through her kept her vibrant and alert. She mirrored some of his moves, surprised that she had such abilities at dance. When she fell short, he guided her, twirling her with such speed that it made her giddy and elated. They danced through endless songs, she forgetting about the friends she had come with, and he focusing all of his attention on her. Clara didn't care what music was playing. She was centered on him, without even knowing his name. He was like prey in the crosshairs of her mind. Images of pouncing him flooded her thoughts. Drenched with sweat, he asked her if she would like to grab another drink at the bar. "Why don't we leave instead?" she suggested, the image still running through her. His smile said an eager yes as he shouted over the music, "By the way, my name's Danny. What's yours?" Clara forgot all about the coat check as they headed for the door. Clara rode Danny with the ferocity of a woman pent up, climbing on top of him with every nerve of her body trying to rock his world in a way that he had never known. "Hey, slow down a little bit, I want to enjoy it," breathed Danny heavily. Danny displayed none of the prowess that he had on the dance floor. Still, she didn't slow down, and he came in three anticlimactic spurts, the whole event being over in several fleeting moments. He rolled over and passed out, whispering something about bird that she couldn't have understood even if she had been paying attention. Fuck, that was hardly worth it. Didn't even get to toy with him. I can't believe I just cheated on Frank for that lousy lay. He didn't even seem to like me that much, just fell right asleep. At least, this was the only time. I mean, last time didn't count because it was only drunken kissing, and the other thing? This time I really took it there. It must be the drugs. That's it. It was the drugs. "Cutie, I'm home. I've got a treat for you," announced Frank on his way into the apartment. His cry was met by silence. The house was empty. "She must have gotten drunk and stayed with one of the girls. I hope they weren't drunk driving all night. She must be safe. I'll let her sleep it off, then give her a call." Frank got ready for bed as the rest of the world was waking, had his morning glass of wine, then went to sleep, trying to drown out the hustle and bustle of the now awake city with pleasant thoughts. When he awoke, the bed was still empty. Disturbed, he crawled into the shower to get ready for another long night of toiling away with shipping and receiving. He dressed himself and was about to run out the door when Clara arrived, makeup smeared face, reeking like alcohol. "Fun night, huh, cutie? Looks like you really got into it. Where'd you stay last night? I was starting to get worried about you. And where's that coat that I gave you? You were wearing it last night," questioned Frank. "I stayed out at Janet's place. They were way too drunk to drive me home. I think I left my jacket in Sarah's car. We had a great time at Intra. So many new people showing up there all the time. You should really come with us sometime," said Clara casually. "Yeah, if I ever get a night off. I gotta run off to work now. You look like you could use a little rest. I'll see you in the morning, okay?" Grabbing his bag, he headed out the door to his old beater. "Look, Derek, this stuff worked great on the dance floor, but it made me a two-pump chump. What the hell?" said Danny. "Maybe you just aren't getting enough," replied Derek with his particular brand of condensation. "The bird you gave me last time was a scam. What good is getting girls if you can't enjoy them afterwards?" "Okay, Danny, I've got what you need. You just let Dr. Derek fix you up. You know I've got a solution for everything. Wait until you hear what I've got up my sleeve." If it's more of that last bird you had, I don't want it. That shit caused me problems. I'll bet it's the last time I score with this chick I met. She was smoking, interrupted Danny. Just let me finish, son. You still want the bird, I guarantee it. But this time you gotta try rat with it. Ever hear of those rodents, or marsupials, or whatever they are, that fuck for weeks straight? Well, you're gonna screw like one of them if you take this stuff. You can take it with the bird. Use your dancing to lure him in, then finish the job with this stuff. Derek beamed with showy confidence as he took out two small baggies for Danny to try. The rat is on me. Let me know how it works out. I've had nothing but good reports. Danny took the bags and handed over his money. Derek didn't usually mess around, so he figured that what he said would go. He'd find out this Friday at any rate. Clara hung up the phone after a brief conversation with Sarah that ended with promises of more cat. We're going to Infra again, darling. You gotta work? Yep, you know that. You guys are going there again? Don't you ever get enough of that place? Replied Frank. I like the music they play there. The drinks are reasonable. I'll probably be here until after you leave. Janet is picking me up, and you know how she's always late. Would you like me to make you some breakfast before you head out to work? The last bit with a tinge of resentment. She was sick of catering to him. She rarely even got to see him, and he was always so tired that he stayed in a perpetual condition of acting short with her. No thanks, cutie. I'll pick up something on the way to work. You have fun with the girls. Try not to stay out so late this time, so I can actually hang out with you between shifts. And he was gone again, leaving her in the empty apartment with nothing to do but wait and get into the wine early. Hey, Clara, isn't that the guy you went home with last time we were here? Asked Janet. Clara hesitated before stuttering. Yeah, I think so. It's kind of blurry to me. Well, that guy sure can dance. Look at him out there. I bet he was good in bed, too, joined Sarah. Not really. Anyway, shut up about it. Keep quiet around Frank. The real highlight of last week was the cat. I've been dying to get into some more. You'll have to introduce me to the guy you get it from. Clara grinned impatiently. I'll get us some drinks. She stood up and headed for the bar, eager for the sleek of cat. Can I get those drinks for you, baby? A bold stranger next to her at the bar, money in hand, leg beating to the music. Thanks, buddy, Clara called out as she gripped the three glasses in her hands and walked away from the stranger before he could ask another question. She was getting good at this, and the cat wasn't even inside of her yet. The evening was gonna flow. She set down the drinks in front of the girls, and Sarah handed her a pill. Bottoms up! Three glasses slammed down on the table simultaneously. The night was about to begin. Clara opened her purse and pulled out a compact to check her face. The inside of her purse was illuminated by the blue light of her cell. She pulled out the phone and checked the text. Have fun, Angel. Hope I'll be off work by 6:30. If I'm lucky, they might even let me go early. Kiss. What timing. It's like he knows and wants me to feel guilty for having a good time. Just because he's a stick in the mud doesn't mean that I can't party and have a good time. He's so boring, he probably wouldn't even give Kat a try. He belongs at work. Clara put aside these thoughts and went back to focusing on having a good time. As usual, Janet was already on the dance floor, not even waiting for the cat to kick in. Sarah spoke first. How are you and Frank doing? I mean, Brian and I aren't getting on so well. I just can't understand it. He's always eaten with jealousy. It's like he wished he could be as cool as me or something. Clara nodded and said yeah at all the appropriate times, but heard none of it. The sleekness had returned and her eyes fixed on Danny across the room. He was spinning like a top, alive and on fire. A group of girls danced, cooing next to him. Brow wet with perspiration, he glistened like fresh bait waiting to be hooked. She felt a surge of predatory rage at the sight of the other girls. No one was going to beat her out on this one. She slid across the room and cut between the girls and Danny. He didn't notice her right away, lost in the trance of dancing. He opened his eyes as Clara brushed up against him, making sure to put a bit of hip into it. She had his attention now. She seemed so much bigger than before, as if I'm looking at her from below. It must be the drugs. This cocktail has me flying. Derek wasn't kidding about the mix. I feel even better than before. Last time, she didn't seem that into me. She's back for more. The dancing is working. The rat better work, too. A circle cleared around them as they danced. They moved like animals, dripping and ferocious. Others were clearly amused and envious of the grace that they were displaying, dancing as if they were years away from being strangers. The music beat them into a frenzy, arms and legs and hips moving with such speed that the music almost seemed too slow to keep up with them. Clara lifted a leg and wrapped it around Danny's waist, pulling him closer. She needed to devour him, not sure if she could even wait until they were out of the club. "This cat is stronger than the last batch. I can't believe that I can move this way. And he's such a good dancer. Last time was no fluke." Frank would probably be cowering in the corner waiting to leave by now. It's good he's not here. I have a hunger that is going to need a large bite of life to satiate. I feel so free. Clara briefly caught the sight of her friends, now both sitting at the table. Both had looks of amazement and envy on their faces, sweaty from dancing. They egged her on with a few lewd gestures, gave the signal that meant, "Do you want another drink?" and at the shake of her head went back to scanning the room for guys of their own. She didn't need any more liquor for now. She was drunk on life and cat. And she had found her mouse. Danny's legs were like jelly. Glancing at his watch, he realized that he had been on the dance floor without a break for hours. He still felt fresh, but sweat was pouring down his chest. The same chest that concealed his rapid heartbeat. An irresistible desire to make savage love to Clara took over his senses, but she didn't look finished dancing. "I wonder how much longer I can hold out and still have stamina for her. She was a wild one last week, and she's still got that barbaric look in her eye. The bird and the rat should keep me going if Derek really knows what he's talking about. Maybe I should offer her a drink and cool down for a second, but we're in flames, and everyone around us can tell." "I'll be right back," Clara whispered in his ear. She made off towards the table where Sarah and Janet sat talking. "Looks like you got yourself a catch again," said Janet with a touch of jealousy. Clara ignored the comment and looked at Sarah. "Do you have any more cat? I really want to take it there. Tonight's my night." Sarah looked slightly disappointed. "Yeah, I've got one left. I was planning on taking it tomorrow. I guess if you can pay me back for it right now, I'd be willing to part with it." Without hesitation, Clara pulled out her wallet and made the exchange. Moving slower than she had on the dance floor made her realize how sweaty wet she was, and she headed towards the bathroom to rinse off and wash down another dose of cat. She emerged from the bathroom after several minutes and spread her gaze around the floor looking for Danny. Her eyes fixed on several cute guys as she scanned the crowd, possibly other prospects for later. From every angle, men stared at her, desire beaming and indiscriminate. She had that air about her tonight. Something about the cat stirred something inside of you, and men had no problem noticing. "Where is that guy? He better not have left while I was in the bathroom. I wonder if I was in there longer than I thought. I guess I could find another victim." As Clara considered her options, Danny emerged from the crowd to her left. The place was packed, and it was no wonder that she hadn't noticed him. But her mind was fixed on one thing, and one thing only. Herself. When she saw him, her senses lit up, and the predatory feeling rose again in her belly with incomprehensible force. She forgot all about the other guys in the club and slinked towards him, sliding between bodies as if they weren't there at all, as if only the two of them existed, in separate worlds, but with the intimate relationship that only prey and predator can share. "There she is, I thought I'd lost her." His heart thumped against his chest in quick, short bursts. "I hope she wants to leave. I feel like I can't wait. She seems bigger than before, and she's so hot. If it's anything like before, I shouldn't have any problem scoring." Their bodies came together again, bare skin slipping, clothes clinging to their moisture. The circle opened for them. Bass rumbled through the floor. Rhythm moved their legs. Their arms found their way to each other. Dancing was beginning to not be enough.
"You want a drink?" slurred Danny. "Got any vodka?" the slurring continued. "Yeah, what do you want for a mixer?"
"Straight's fine." Clara went to the bathroom to splash water on her face as the drinks were being poured.
"It's damn hot in here, it's gonna make me sick."
Staggering to the toilet, there was no time to raise the seat. Vomit sprayed the lid and the surrounding wall. Splashing water on her face, she gathered herself enough to find a washcloth and clean the muck. "Damn it, Clara, this is your moment. Get it together." Without rinsing her mouth, she strode towards the living room where Danny waited with the drinks. She half fell towards the couch and into his lap as French disco pop teased her ringing ears. She watched Danny's mouth move while he spoke, but didn't take in a word. She didn't care what he had to say. She wanted only one thing. Sip after sip of the vodka cooled her back down and made her body settle into the couch where she lay. "Why hurry? I've got all night. I might as well make this guy swell. Make him wait." She didn't know this guy anything, but she was gonna have her fun. Leaning over to kiss him, she spilled a bit of her drink on her lap. "So sorry," she half mused while running her hand over the wet spot in his crotch. He rose under her touch as she noticed that the skin on his face glistened and flushed bronze. Clara bit at his ear while whispering for another drink. "She's toying with me, but I can wait. She's definitely gonna put out." Danny stood up and walked awkwardly to the kitchen, his gait betraying his arousal. "Mind if I put on another record?" Clara asked half-heartedly as she pushed play on the CD she had already selected. Notes poured out of the speakers and into her throbbing senses. Frank would hate this music, but she was loving it, letting it flow through her, almost forgetting about Danny altogether, until he returned with the drink. Throwing back her head, she gulped at the vodka, drinking with an air of authority, wanting to look like a pro in the overly eager man's eyes. He seemed nervous, and leaning her head on his chest, she could feel the rapid beating of his heart. "I've got this guy in the palm of my hand." While she wasn't looking, Danny slipped another rat into his mouth and swallowed hard. "I'm not risking blowing this." Clara didn't notice, or she might have asked to try one too. Instead, she loosened his belt and slid it off of his pants. He lifted himself slightly from the couch, allowing her to do so. When the belt hung limp in her hand, she slapped his thigh with it. "Ah!" Surprise got the best of him. Before he could speak, she clawed at his neck, pulling him into her, joining their lips. He rose again and reached for her breast. With speed and accuracy she didn't know she had, she slapped his hand away.
"Easy, girl," Danny slurred.
Clara put her hand to his lips and stopped his words with a finger in his mouth. With her other hand, she teased him through his pants. She straddled him and bit at his neck before pulling him onto the floor. He fell on top of her and moved in for a kiss. This she avoided and rolled to position herself on top of him once more. Buttons popped and flew in every direction as she tore his shirt out of her way. His chest also shone bronze. Clara ran her tongue across it, tasting the salt of its perspiration. It was obvious that Danny wanted to switch positions and bend Clara over the couch, but she didn't give him the opportunity. She pulled his pants down just enough to reveal his equipment. Not wanting to waste time on undressing, she hiked her skirt and pulled her panties aside, forgetting all about the rubbers in her purse, and she rode. She moved like she was alone, screwing so openly that she might have well been on her own, masturbating. He had more in him this time, and she was going to take advantage. Then she noticed him. "Ugh, his face looks bloated. It's so sweaty. Is that normal?" Danny felt tremors in his arms, legs, and back, and mistook them for the precursor to orgasm.
"Hold on, champ. You're doing better than last time."
His heart pounded. He thought he might faint. So awake, but drowsy at the same time. For a moment, he forgot what was going on. Then his confusion focused into an acute headache.
"Get it together, man. Gotta enjoy this while you can."
Danny was wishing he had avoided that last drink. Incredible thirst overtook him. The room seemed too hot.
"Just hold on a minute. Almost there."
Blue light seared behind Danny's eyes as he ejaculated in one final thrust and fell limp. Clara felt the hot outpour flood inside of her.
"Did he just come in me? Crap!"
She leapt up from his crotch.
"What are you thinking?"
she demanded. He responded with silence, already losing the heat that his body had been exuding. She repeated herself, and again silence. Purple streaks rose from his skin all over his body, and his face seemed even more swollen than before.
"This isn't good."
She struggled for her purse and grabbed her phone. another text. You okay, baby? It's late and I haven't heard from you yet. What timing? She ignored the text and dialed. 911 emergency. In between deep gasps, she managed to say, I need an ambulance right away, a heart attack, or an OD or something. The next 10 minutes disappeared into a flood of despairing thought. When she finally looked up, an EMT was repeating his question to her. What have you guys been taking tonight? His tone induced her into a new state of semi-clarity. I don't know about him, but I was taking Cat, and we were both drinking heavily. Lying wasn't gonna do any good here. You kids and these animal hormones. Who in the world would think that taking that stuff was a good idea? Jim, we've got another endocrine failure on our hands. I think we lost him already. Try a shot of adrenaline. And we should be taking you in too. That stuff is dangerous. If I have a choice, I'll just be on my way. I don't even know this guy. Clara texted for a cab while speaking. Clara hung up the phone with the doctor and immediately called Sarah. You remember a few months ago when I left with that guy? How I told you that he came in me when he died? Yeah, you poor thing. It's so horrible, I can't believe it. Sarah had already heard the story a few times and knew that Clara was having a hard time digesting all of it. I just got off the phone with the clinic. It's so much worse than I thought. I missed my period, so I went in for a pregnancy test and... Sarah interrupted. Oh no, you're pregnant? What are you gonna do? It's worse than that. The doctor said that it's some kind of fluke. He said I make Octomom look normal. I'm pregnant with 10 babies. He called it a litter. And said that my body couldn't possibly handle the stress. I'm gonna have to abort. Her voice was choking up and the words came between increasing sobs. Oh my god, girl, it's terrible. Don't worry, I'll be there for you. Whatever you do, just don't tell Frank. You don't need that making this mess worse. Do you want me to come over? Her question was returned with sobbing. Sarah hung up the phone and dialed Janet to spread the news. In this episode of Simultaneous Times, you heard The Distant Prince by Gabriel Hart, music by Fog Machine. Fucking Like Animals by Jean-Paul L. Garnier, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Theme music by Dane Lusco. Be sure to visit us at spacecowboybooks.com.